This is the Jaguar Scoreboard Show.
Jaguar Scoreboard Show.
JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL, and take your phone calls. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah and Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
Here we go on the Scoreboard Show. The Jags win it 21-13 over the Tennessee Titans. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor has left the room. The Jags are victorious. The phone lines are open. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. Some happy Jags fans tonight staying up late.
And they should be happy, J.P. I'll give you – this one ought to make you happier. Don't you love getting under the skin of the opposing coach, particularly if that guy coaches the Tennessee Titans? This one, again, courtesy of Ryan O'Halloran on Twitter. Titans coach Ken Sour Grapes Wisenhunt complaining about the officiating, quote, "They were holding the crap out of us when Bortles left the pocket today." Hey, Ken, not if they don't call it, buddy. All right? I mean, how many pass interference calls were they going to make? The two offensive pass interference calls that were questionable at best, and then another one that looked like defensive pass interference against Tennessee that went uncalled. So, hey, you know what? Losers can talk about the officiating. Jags are winners. And I thought, JP, for 32 minutes, from the two-minute mark of the first half to the end of the game, they gave Jag fans just about everything they could have wanted. Offense, three touchdown drives, didn't settle for field goals, drove it down, explosive plays, methodical drives, Blake Bortles playing tough, Toby Gerhardt playing well, defense, getting big stops, Telvin Smith all over the place, Aaron Colvin making his presence felt, and finishing it off. Who doesn't love Cedric Marks? I mean, what awesome, a, you know, MVP of the team this year, at least with one game to go, having a terrific year. Worthy of the Pro Bowl, whether he gets in or not. It's, you know, we all know it's a bit of a political thing with fans, small market and all that, defensive tackle position. But to finish it off in that fashion, he's one of the crowd favorites. This was just a you know, primetime game, rivalry, show the country that you hope that the core of this team is on the rise. I mean, you couldn't have asked for much more other than a slow start tonight.
I think you covered it all.
Yeah. Well done. We're done. Good night.
See you next week.
Now you ought to feel good, I think, if you're a Jag fan
and
tonight.
From all the build-up of this game, Blake Bortles, is he going to play? How's the foot? What's the situation? You know what? From the first interview opportunity with Bortles this week, he said he was playing. There was no doubt in his mind, at least. There might have been doubt in some others' minds, just to make sure. And they did their due diligence and made sure, even up to today, early before the game, he went out and worked out in front of everybody in the organization almost.
I mean, they all came out there, right? You understand. I mean,
but he played. That's the whole point. He got through it. He fought through it for this team and made a lot of plays with those feet tonight.
Right. As Fred said, throw the stats out on Blake tonight. He was a tough guy tonight. You heard Red Bryant. You hear it in the voice. Red Bryant's won a Super Bowl, man. He's played a lot of football. He's not a spring chicken. He's seen good players. He's seen pretenders. And these guys believe in Blake Bortles. At least they believe that he's got the it, that he's not ready right now to carry a team week in, week out. But they respect him, and they see the talent in him. And Jeff Logman talked about it earlier this week, how important it was to show your teammates, at least from the quarterback's perspective, that you're willing to fight the fight with them. You're not going to bail. It would have been easy in this circumstance to say, hey, you know, it's not in perfect condition. I'm going to take the next one, if not two games off. He wanted no part of that. Good stuff. 355-NFL-1. Let's throw it out there.
Yeah, this is late night with the Jags.
Who's awake and not watching A Football Life with Jimmy Keenan?
Yeah, that's
going
to be tough right now.
Because we got it both going on. NFL Network's debuting it. I hope you're DVRing it, all right? Or you can watch it tomorrow. They'll replay the heck out of this thing. But we've got it on out of the corner of our eye.
I have a feeling we might be in trouble, Mike.
We're enjoying the highlights. There's Stroud. There's Jimmy on the sideline. We saw Freddie T plenty featured in there. Let's get to the phones. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. And outside the 904 area code, 800-355-NFL-1 will get you on board. Let's start with Daniel out at the beach. Hey, Daniel, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, man?
Hey, man.
I called last week. I don't know if you can remember. Section 438 up there freezing, talking about fire the whole daggum squad because they're scared to go for a 4th and 2.
I remember that.
After tonight, let me reiterate, I'm stoked they got the coaching staff. I'm highly motivated about the Jaguars going into the offseason. And after that Jimmy Smith thunder and lightning replay up there on the NFL Network, it brought back a bunch of old memories. I'm a old school fan from the 90s. So, thank y'all. Keep up the good work, and let's go Jags.
All right, thank you. Daniel's back off the ledge.
What a difference week. A week makes.
It's winning, JP. We know what it does, man. I mean, look, you lose, and everybody, you're looking for the scapegoats. They didn't play perfect football tonight. You're playing against a two-win team in the Tennessee Titans. You got the victory. You got down. You hung in there. We talked about all the different aspects that came through for the team tonight. So you feel a lot better as a Jag fan. And one win can make you have that feeling, I think.
Yes, it can.
Three at home, right? It'd been a couple of years since they had two at home. Now three at home. A step in the right direction.
Your phone calls, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. The phone lines are open. The Jaguars are winners tonight, 21-13 over the Tennessee Titans. More of your calls and a recap of tonight's game after this. It's the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Bueller Swiss Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watches are available at J. Roberts Jewelers in Jacksonville and Park Jewelers in Lake Mary. And we continue on the Scoreboard Show after a Jaguars win 21-13 over the Tennessee Titans. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. The phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Plenty of positive tonight. Michael.
No doubt about it. Everybody feeling good. And, you close the season on a good note. Momentum for the team, JP? What about momentum for the fan base, right? You close the home schedule. You feel good. Your last night out, prime time. Everybody comes out. Nice atmosphere. You get paid off with a W.
Yes.
Let's go to Kevin and McClenny next up on the Scoreboard Show, 355-NFL-1. Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm fantastic. What a game.
There you go.
Defense did great. Offense did great. I want to talk about an unsung hero, though.
All right.
Although Marquise Lee had a great game. But when, Totten had that big run, and Marquise Lee is out there slowing down the safety. He must have run 100 yards. And there was one play, he was wide open. And Bortles went to shorts. And I just think he's an unsung hero. But he did well. And Jacksonville has a bunch of great players.
All right, yeah. Kevin. And
you know what? Remember,
bunch of great fans.
Remember earlier in the year, Marquise Lee walked down after a turnover, right? Was it? He like ran the length of the field to go at least get in the way and interrupt a run back.
Yeah,
was it a kick return or something?
It was across the field too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Guys, he hustles, he loves it,
Marquise Lee, you could hear him in the post game, how excited he was for Blake to play well tonight, and I thought the one catch and run by Marquise Lee gave you another one of those glimpses. The move he made. Now, first he's got coverage on his hip. And the defender kind of falls off when he catches the pass. But then when he squares up the next guy and he cut inside, Michael Griffin ran him down because he had to slow up a little bit. But I can't remember who it was that he put the move on initially. It might have been George Wilson. I mean, just it was like he was standing still. All of a sudden, Marquise Lee is in front of him. Next thing you know, he's behind him. How did he do that? So he's got rare acceleration. He's got a lot of guys have speed, but they got to build up to the speed. He's got the quickness and the speed. So another glimpse on what you hope you're going to see a lot more of next year.
While we're on this topic, let's talk about the receivers, the whole crew right now. So Allen Robinson's hurt. He's done for the year. Allen Hurns stepping out again. He had some more catches tonight. He's been he's the leading receiver on the team, for goodness sakes. That's good news. Marquise Lee is starting to come around in the last few weeks. That's good news. Now, the question will be moving forward, what happens with Cecil? It's the end of his contract. That's going to be a topic in the coming weeks after the Texans game next week for sure. What's Justin Blackmon's situation? That name's been thrown around, know by who, but a lot of folks have thrown that name around recently.
Well, I think
fans have, just as a possibility. Yeah, he's in the program.
The
and
fact,
all that.
Right, that he went through a successful, apparently successful rehab. He's an X factor. We don't know.
So, what's the next step with this group? What's the group going to look like next? Ace Sanders. What's his role going to be?
Honestly, I think Ace Sanders is going to have a hard time making the football team. Yeah. He's not contributing at all in the base offense, and he's really not giving you anything in punt returns. And you've got a guy who led the ASC or was at the NFL in Tandon Doss last year that you hope to get back healthy next year. Could make Ace irrelevant, quite frankly. And, you know, with Cecil Shorts, I thought tonight he struggled more than he had success. And, you know, I think, it's a young group, and we've talked a lot about will they spend money on offense and free agency, bring in some veterans on that side of the ball. We're not talking about bringing in a number one guy necessarily, but they have the money to do it if they want to, JP. If they want to go after Jeremy Maclin type in free agency, they could do it if they chose to go that way. They're going to bring in somebody, I think, who's caught footballs before in the National Football League to balance out some of this youth. Infuse some youth on a defense that is not old, but certainly more veteran than the offense. And, you know, you hope all of a sudden everything's going to come together at the same time.
Plenty left in the Scoreboard Show. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Jags win 21-13 over the Titans. More after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Hey, Jags fans, score some great deals. See your Southern Ford dealer today, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. The Jags went further today with a win, 21-13 over the Tennessee Titans. JP Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. The Scoreboard Show continues. There are no other scores because there are no other games tonight. It's Thursday Night Football, so usually we'd get you up to date on some other games, but no games.
21-13. That's the only score.
There's the scoreboard.
That's your score for
the
night.
On the Scoreboard Show.
The all eyes of the NFL on. And really, you know, for around the league, we know everyone was kind of dreading the idea. Oh, it's 2-2 or 2-12 versus 2-12. And, you know, for the majority of the first half, that was a pretty self-fulfilling prophecy there. But from that point on, I thought it was a pretty compelling football game. And obviously, we're looking at it from the Jaguar perspective. But they got things rolling and played a good 32 minutes of ball.
Just how quickly it changes, though. The first four drives of this game for the Jaguars offense, five plays and a punt, then three straight three and outs, 16 yards, one first down and four drives, and then the drive after that, it's 11 plays, 80 yards and a touchdown. I mean, it's
right. And,
night
and JP,
day.
I thought they came out initially trying to run some tempo, you know, because people say, hey, this just shows, put Blake in the two-minute drill. That very first series, they were going up-tempo.
They had a four-yard play and then went right, no huddle.
Right, yeah, right up to the line. And so they tried to get that going a little bit earlier. It didn't click. The three and outs, I think you get into when you start having those and your defense is getting thrown right back out on the field, I think it makes it more difficult to play up-tempo. But with 2 minutes left in the half, obviously you got to do that. And then you get the break with halftime. You come right back out. Playing aggressively and, you know, convert a big third down early on that drive, and away they went, and it worked out for them this time. 355-NFL1, let's go out to Mandarin and talk with Steven on the Scoreboard Show. Hey, Steven, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. JP, you told me to call, and so now I'm calling. We talked on Tuesday night at the Jaguar thing,
yes,
and you told me to call, and so I'm calling.
Well, you know, fair weather, that's fine. Go ahead.
You're killing me.
What's up, man?
Hey man, I just want to say that I'm excited about the win, and my question is two questions. The first one is, can we spoil Houston's playoff options? And the second question is, did we play this year pretty much the expectations that were set at the beginning of the season?
All right. Thanks for the call.
Two different things. First, I think Houston's playoff options are going to be spoiled ahead of time.
Yes. I mean, they're 7-7 now. There's
right.
A bunch of 9-win
right. Technically,
teams.
I think alive, but if they lose to Baltimore, which you look at, you're playing with who knows? They don't even know who's playing at quarterback. They may know, but it's going to be Case Keenum, who they signed off the street, or Thad Lewis. They're going – I mean, their rookie Tom Savage got hurt his first action. So you may be without DeAndre Hopkins, your leading receiver this year. It's going to be an uphill battle against a Baltimore team that's playing pretty good football
and
right now.
Remember, the AFC North has all those teams that are have much better records already.
Absolutely. Cincinnati, I mean, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore all have 8 wins.
Right.
So you're it's an uphill climb. They're right. going to be eliminated. It's not going to be as far as do they meet expectations? I don't think they met it in the win column. I think this team, if they're being honest with you, I think Gus Bradley would tell you we thought we'd win more football games this year. I think they were surprised how much they struggled early on. I think defensively, the first month of the season, they were behind where they expected them to be. We see what the defense is capable of now, but it didn't start off that way.
No, it did not at all.
So I think they do feel, and they thought, look, they thought Chad Henne would be able to keep this team competitive and afloat. The offense struggled so mightily. You know, you see Blake Bortles, he's got footwork issues that need to be worked out, and it's nothing that can't be corrected, but they wanted to bring him along at a much slower pace, and everyone said, oh, come on, this idea, you're going to sit in the whole season. Well, obviously, it didn't work out that way, but I think they went to it out of sheer necessity, and Henne played halfway decent. If he had followed up that first half against Philadelphia with another performance like that against Washington the next week, instead of being a statue in the pocket getting sacked 10 times, maybe we don't see, maybe they're not on alert with Blake Bortles going into the Indy game, and then you're down so big at halftime. They felt like they needed to do something at that point in time and put him in. And he played on instinct and said, wow, now maybe they shouldn't have held him back to this degree, or they shouldn't have lowered expectations. But I think ultimately, if you look at it, you know, still the win-loss record, probably not what they wanted. But I think it'll benefit them in the long run that Bortles got the experience and came through it pretty much unscathed. And to be able to, as we've talked about often tonight, to play hurt and come out and get a win in your second-to-last game of the season could go a long way. He's already, I think, won over the locker. I think he did it before tonight, but this doesn't hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. How can you not like this guy as your leader in the locker room? His mentality even before this week, but this week definitely had to solidify.
And you've heard it from every veteran. I mean, there are not many veterans on this team. I mean, you know.
You say veterans, there's like three
Mercedes Lewis from the very beginning just talked about, you know, in his own words, had the it factor. You know, a guy like Red Bryant to speak like he did about him postgame, I think it says a lot about what Blake's been able to do in terms of winning over the locker room. What's going to Mikey and Mandarin next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Mikey, what's on your mind? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are y'all?
Good.
Good, man.
So after tonight's game, I feel like Blake Bortles is getting there, and he needs some more time. But my thought is going into the draft, where do y'all think they go with this first pick now with the way they're going? Do you think it's going to go offensive line, tight end? I think the defense is solid. They could use somebody in free agency, but I really look at offense in the draft. What are y'all's thought on that?
I think it's going to be the opposite. I do. I think they're going to spend – they need guys on offense. They don't need to add more youth on this offense. Now, does that mean they won't draft any offensive players? No. But I think you want some guys who are ready-made, ready to go right now to supplement what you've got on the offensive side of the football.
No doubt about that.
You want some – I think you're going to have some guys that they bring in on the line to push. Not necessarily – they're not going to anoint starters necessarily, although they may sign a right tackle or something of that. That's the one position where I think they could – give a guy a contract that would dictate that he's the odds-on favorite to be the opening day starter. But they'll bring in competition. I think they're going to – look, you've got a line right now that's playing well. Marks and Miller locked up. They're fairly young guys. But Clemens and Bryan aren't spring chickens, right? Good teams that have good front fours, front sevens, what do, JP? They continue to build them, right?
There's always somebody next.
What did the Indianapolis Colts do for years? Great on offense. Let's keep giving – let's build our strength. Let's not dilute it. Let's be great in one area. And to do that, you've got to continue to replenish. I think it's the opposite. I think they draft defense. I think they sign offense in free agency. Not exclusively on either score, but the majority of the picks will be defensive picks. The majority of free agent signings will be on the offensive side.
And the free agent stuff, you just don't know. Who's going to get franchised? Who's going to be available? That's all months down the road. But, yeah, I think in general that makes a lot of sense.
I think Dave Caldwell's probably got a pretty comprehensive list, like most GMs are on the ball. But like you said, you don't know. I mean, a guy like Randall Cobb, well, they could re-up him. They could announce a contract extension tomorrow.
Yeah, you can't just create plans around this guy.
You don't know.
It's a little early for that, but I agree with that. Phone lines open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Jags win it 21-13. Your reaction, more on the Scoreboard Show after this on Jaguars Radio.
Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Jags win 21-13 over the Tennessee Titans. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, let's get to them.
The pulse of the Jaguar postgame fan base. I'm not saying he speaks for all the fan base. Saqib kind of embodies the pulse. Ten words in, you know if they won or lost, right?
I can't wait for
this. Will you agree with that? Yes. On the south side, Saqib, it wouldn't be a Scoreboard Show without you. How are you?
What's up, boys?
What's up, boys?
Hey, it took three words tonight.
Hey, I'm guessing they won tonight.
Before I say something, I just want to mention one of the Jaguar fans. He sold me his ticket. His club fee for $40. That tells you how good a fan base we have here, man. You know what I mean? For $40, he sold me a ticket. That's a $140 ticket. He sold me for $40. That's not that bad. But let me just say this: I know I'm killing Jeff Fish, and I'm still gonna kill. I still want him out, okay? I still want a new guy in, but our offensive line is horrible, and this kid's gonna get killed next year if we don't change something, Mike. I mean, what guys out there do you think is getting a right tackle? We just need a couple more guys up there. I mean, this kid's gonna get killed next year too if we don't change that like immediately. And I still want Jeff Fish out, just to let you guys know that.
Well, Saqib, at least you said it with a smile in your voice tonight. I don't have my list of right tackles. JP, obviously, that's a position. I don't think even if you re-sign Austin Pastor as a restricted free agent, I don't think you hand him the job, right? I mean, that's clearly Sam Young.
Well, he got beat tonight.
Got whipped pretty bad. I don't think he's ready from what I've seen so far. I mean, guys can develop, but...
Well, I mean, he's a fourth-year guy, a fourth- or fifth-year guy. He's not some new guy.
No, I know, but I mean, this is a guy, like, you know, Logman watches him. He says he thinks this guy has got a future. He's got potential. You know what I mean? And, you know, you can only wait so long. I think he, as a swing tackle, as a kind of a backup right tackle, all right, that's fine. I don't think he's a long-term answer. I don't think they're just going to go out there and – unless something really they've got the cap space and something like the Alex Mack situation last year presents itself where you can get the cream of the crop, unquestioned, one of the top three guys at his position. Those guys don't become available very often. I do think they'll bring in some veterans to push the left guard and the center a little bit, but I think your right guard is set. I don't think they're bailing on Jokel. If you're looking for wholesale new starters across the line, you're not going to get it, in my opinion. Right tackle, that's a different story. Right now, I consider that job 100% wide open. So we'll see. So keep be happy tonight. Let's go to Brad on the west side here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Brad. How are you?
I'm great, guys. How are you doing?
Fantastic. All right. What's going on?
Hey, I just want to say, I love what you guys just said about the O-line and everything, but it's my first year as a season ticket holder, and I got to say, for a final home game, I really loved what I saw. I think the defense did great, and I loved seeing Blake Bortles improve so much over the course of the season, and I really do think he has improved quite a bit over the season, and I just want to say, go Jags, and I love what I saw this season. Even though it was a shitty season.
All right, Brad. Thank you, Brad. Brad.
Up to that point, it was
poor season.
Fantastic.
Yes, it was a great call for 90. I'd say 93% of that call was fantastic.
Yes,
right.
Absolutely
easy there. The one area I think Blake is clearly visibly improved is cutting down on the turnovers. Right, the interceptions, the pick sixes were way too many that stretch in the middle of the season. Now, you want that to come at the same time, but not take away the aggressiveness. You still want to be able to drive the ball down the field, throw the ball into tight areas. You don't want to become a game manager type guy. I don't think he has done that, but he has been better protecting the football.
One final segment of the Scoreboard Show ahead. A couple final calls. The Jaguars, a winner over the Tennessee Titans. 21-13. We'll wrap it up after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Final segment of the Scoreboard Show. Remember, field goals for Firehouse. When the Jags kick a 40-plus yard field goal, you'll get a free medium Firehouse sub with your chip and drink purchase. Register at jaguars.com/firehousesubs. Scobie will make a star of this week tonight. He didn't get any chances.
Rather,
but I'll take
touchdowns.
That.
Rather the touchdowns.
I'll take that.
That's right.
No field goals for Scobie tonight. New system, new routes, new way. The JCA has transformed to be the kind of bus system customers enjoy riding. Their new routes mark the beginning of a new way of doing business at the JTA. For more information, visit jtafla.com or call 904-630-3100. An injury report presented by Baptist Health System. Toby Gerhart, rib contusion. Didn't see much out of the locker room after that. We did, as we mentioned earlier, Roy Miller's knee sprain is now a meniscus injury, it's being reported, so that might require surgery.
It looks like it will require surgery. There are initial reports post-game, primarily I saw from Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times-Union. So, but good news, I mean, that's typically an injury that, you know, you give the proper rest and rehab, he should be fine in February at some point and clearly ready to go for the offseason.
The Jaguars will be ready to go next week, overly ready. They'll have a couple extra days to recuperate from this one and get ready for the Houston Texans down in Houston next week to wrap up the 2014 season. Houston has a really physical game this week against the Baltimore Ravens. They need that win. The Ravens need it bad on the road in Houston on Sunday.
Beat them up. Beat up the Texans and let the Jags finish them off. Drive that final stake in their season. And
yes. Step on their throats.
Let them wonder what might have been, and they'll still be wondering, do we have a franchise quarterback on this roster? No, the answer is no. Do the Jags, it appears like they do. They certainly have a guy they believe is that guy. And one more win, send them off 4-12. A lot better than it looked a couple weeks ago.
Hey, guess what?
We're done.
Next is Late Night with Hacker and T-Wood.
Oh, well, you know, it doesn't really get any better than that. I was going to say much better, but really any better. The unfortunate thing is everybody who's called 355-NFL-1 now needs to call 641-1010 to get through.
That's right.
With those guys. But that's okay. And tomorrow, shameless plug department, David Garrard, Fat Tony, and myself be right back here in 9 hours for Jaguars Today. And hopefully shortly after that, sitting down with head coach Gus Bradley, celebrating win number 3.
All right.
In this very room.
There you have it.
How about that?
Final score, 21-13. Tony Smith, the producer. Linda Fortunato answering the calls tonight. For Mike Dempsey and everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick. Jaguars win it, 21-13. And we'll see you next week on the Jaguars Radio Network.